Well, let's read a little bit. If you have the Hebrew original of Isha Halacha, if you have the Isha Halacha Goli V'Nistar volume, it's in the bottom of page 94. If you're following along in the English translation, it's on page 113. In addition to a Birkas HaTorah, on the content, you have to make a Birkas HaNenin on the language. V'kan mufiya ha'evdel ha'ikari ben musag ha'tshuva b'halacha l'zeh shel ish hadat ha'klali. The main difference between the concept of tshuva and halacha to that which general religious man conceives of emerges here. Zeh ha'achra, on the latter, the ish ha'adat ha'klali, tofes ed rayon ha'tshuva mibchinat kapara. He identifies the idea of tshuva with atonement. B'tor tris b'fnei ha'onesh. It's a shield to protect one against punishment. B'tor charatat srak, right? An ilan srak is a tree that doesn't yield fruit. Remorse, which is totally unproductive, which isn't creative. She'eina yatzeret u'machadeshet klum. Nafshohu gan nechim umitabelat al yom etmol kiavar. His soul mourns for a yesterday which is bygone. Al hazman sheshaka kvar betom hanashia, for time which is already has already irretrievably sunk. Al maisim shel cholfu ketzel, actions which have passed like a shadow. Al uvdot, facts she'i afshar l'shanotan u'lahamiran b'acherot, facts that are immutable. U'lefichach zoku l'chasodim merubim l'nisim v'nefla'os l'rachamim rabim v'chulu. Ma she'en kein isha ha'alocha, hu einenu mitmaker l'b'chi u'letuga. He doesn't lose himself in crying and sorrow. The Rebbe is certainly not eliminating crying and sorrow from the tshuva process, but he's not totally, it's an element of the tshuva process, but it's not, there's no hitmatgrut. The person is not totally abandoned to the bechi. There's a difference between bechi playing a critical role and a person, as it were, abandoning himself or losing himself to bechi. Hu einenu mitmaker lebechi letuga, einenu noshechet besaro veino chovel batzmo. Doesn't engage in even verbal self-flagellation. Hu einenu osek b'tshuvat hamishkal veino mitmaker lesigufei haguf ve'inuyei hanefesh. He's not torturing himself. Ish halacha asuk biyitzira atzmit. He's engaged in self-creation. Ubevriyat anochi chadash, in creating a new I. Einu mitcharet al ha'avar shekva ofen elam. He's not expressing remorse about a past that is, again, forever gone and hidden. Ela ba'avar hakayam. His remorse is about a past that still exists. Hakayam adayin, v'hamishtar beiv, and which extends itself. V'hanichnas, and it enters and it enters into the domain of present and future. He's not, fighting against shadows which peek through from a dead past. And in doing tshuva v'chataim, he's not struggling, he's not wrestling in meisim with actions shekvar kom tshuva navlu, that have already withered. Ein kabalato hachlata artila id biyachas le'atid v'achok v'satum shlo ba adayin le'olam. His resolve for the future is not about a future which is distant, remote, which doesn't yet exist. Isha halacha mu'unyan bevuat ha'avar hamishtakefet b'merkazam shel chayav v'hoveh. Isha halacha is interested in the shadow of the past, which reflects itself to the center of his present life. Hasoanim v'hagoashim k'yam nirgash, like a stormy sea. Ube'atid, the ish halacha is interested in ba'atid ha'poem v'atosei shekvar nivra. He's focused on a future that already exists. Yesh avar chai, v'yesh avar meit. There's a past which is still alive in the present. There's a past that's dead, that's gone. Yesh atid shelo notzar adayin. There's a future which has not yet been created. V'yesh atid, and there's a future hakayam kvar, which already exists. Yesh avar v'atid she'enam kshurim zeh bo zeh u'behoveh ala al yedei chok hasibatiyut. There's a past and a future that are only connected with each other and with the present through the law of causality. Hasibah nimtzeit benekudas manit achat mitztarefet al hamisovev hamisuvav hameura benekuda bet v'chein kayotzei bahem. The cause, which is located at one earlier point, is connected logically through causality with a result which is located at a later subsequent point. Bram hazman atzmo b'tor avam mufia b'vchinat haya ayin. Time itself, it was, and now is gone. Ubetor atid, which is bifchinat yihyeh, which will be adayin, but not yet. Uminikubdat mabad zo ein atshuva el musag reik v'navuv. If you view and experience time this way, tshuva is empty and hollow. Navuv luchos ta'ase osa. Ei afshar lehitcharet al avar shekvar meit v'shakar b'tom hanishia. There's no, what meaning, how is it meaningful to focus on a past that's already bygone? Right? In English, there's a saying, right? There's no point crying over spilled milk. And what does it mean to relate to a future that doesn't yet exist? Brahm, yesh avar, but there is another dimension to time. There's another dimension to existence. Brahm, yesh avar matmid v'yatsiv. There's a past which hasn't passed away and become a bygone. There's a dimension of existence in which the ovah, in which the past, is matmid v'yatsiv. It's perpetual. It exists perpetually. doesn't pass away inexorably, irretrievably, immutably. It remains intact. This dimension of time, this dimension of past, it pushes its way, as it were, and it enters the domain of the present, and it becomes wedded in ha'atid, with the future. And just as there are two different dimensions, two different levels on which one can experience, conceive of the past, the same is true for the future. Yesh atid she'eino ganuz mibad la'arafel. There is a future which isn't hidden and unknown, enveloped in some mist. Ela mitgala achshav b'chol yafyo v'tiftavto. The future is already reveals itself in all its beauty and splendor. Skipping a couple of lines, mibchina zo ein anu tofsim et ha'avar b'toy haya ayin ha'atid b'toy yiyah adayin. On this level, this dimension, in this dimension of existence, we don't perceive, we don't conceive of, we don't experience the past as what was and no longer is, and we don't perceive and experience the future as what will be, which is not yet. Ve'et ha'hoveh b'tor harafayin, and we don't perceive of the present as a fleeting moment. Kulam mitlakdim umitmazgim yachad. No, they all join together. Uparshat hazman hamishuleshet. Here, at least in the edition I have, there's a misprint. It should be boka'as va'ola. The beis and the kuf were interchanged accidentally. Uparshat hazman hamishulesh is bokas va'ola. And this three-twined time emerges. Ha'avar mishulav ba'atid, the past is integrated with the future. U'shnehem mishtakfim b'hoveh, and they're both reflected in the present. What does this mean? What does this mean that the past isn't gone? What does it mean that the past isn't bygone? Right? Let bygones be bygones. What does it mean that the past is matmid v'yatsiv? I mean, if I ate Cheerios for breakfast this morning, I ate Cheerios for breakfast this morning. That's done with. And yet, let's read a little bit more. Gam, I'm skipping around two lines. Chok hasibatiyut lovesh mibchina zo tzura chadasha. The law of causality takes on different meaning in this dimension of existence. Ein kan sidriyut kvua shel tahalich hasibatiyut haklalit. Ve'ein hayachas shel siba pi'ila u'mesovev savil shekvo huktzav u'ktzav al yada kayam kan. In the general law of causality, so A, which is the cause, happens, and B, which is the passive effect, follows and ensues. And that's how the law of causality operates. That's what cause and effect is. Gam ha'ila, the cause, v'gam ha'alul, the effect, literally the caused with a D, mufiyim bilvush aktivi passivi. In this dimension, it's not just that the cause is active and the effect is that which was acted upon, which is passive. No, either one can be active, either one can be passive. The present can be the cause and exert its formative influence on the past. And the past can be the effect. How is that possible? How can the present act upon the past? What does it mean to say that the past still exists? And because the past still exists, the present can act on the past. And you can invert, you can reverse the cause and effect sequence. And what I do now will be the cause, and the effect will be in the past, in yesterday, last week, 10 years ago. What does that mean? If I ate Cheerios for breakfast this morning, there's nothing I can do now to change that. Maybe it was a good thing that I ate Cheerios for breakfast this morning. Maybe it wasn't a good thing. Maybe it depends upon whether or not you own stock in Cheerios, whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. But either way, what's done is done. So what do you mean that the present can be the cause and the past can be the effect? The present can exert the determining influence, and the past will be what's affected. Lechava as follows. Everything that happens in the world, well, let's, since we ultimately want to talk about tshuva, so let's be very much anthropocentric. Let's focus on man. Let's be even egocentric. Let's focus on ourselves. Everything we do happens and therefore can be viewed on either or both of two very different levels. Everything we do happens and therefore can be viewed, can be understood, can be described in either or both of two very different dimensions. We engage in physical, concrete actions. I ate breakfast this morning. That, on the natural level, again, that's a physical, concrete action. On that level, in that dimension of existence, the past doesn't exist anymore. That's a bygone. I can't reach into the past and change the Cheerios into, I don't know, does Captain Crunch still have Hashkocha? I can't change the Cheerios into Captain Crunch no matter how much I would like to. I can decide to eat Captain Crunch for supper, but that's a different choice. So the Rav is not—he's not telling us to imagine a world that doesn't exist, a world that's contrary to the real world. On that level and in that dimension of existence, so ha'avar, haya, and ayin, the past is past and no longer is. And the only connection a person has to the past is memory. Could be as a dirty bowl if he didn't wash out his breakfast bowl also. But other than that, he doesn't have any connection to the past. But everything a person is not only a physical being, a person's a spiritual being also. Stands to reason that given that we're a hybrid of physical and spiritual, so that there's a dimension to what we do, which is not only physical and concrete, but which is spiritual and abstract. There's what we do physically, concretely, and then there's the significance, the meaning of what we do. There's the spiritual dimension of what happens. The breakfast I ate this morning, it had an OU, it didn't have an OU. I ate to be mekayim b'chol drachecho da'eyu, or with other kavonos. I made a bracha, I didn't make a bracha. I ate in a refined manner or in a not refined manner. There's the meaning, there's the significance. Macholos asuros are something physical, but the iser isn't physical. The lobster is physical. The fact that that's a dove atome is not something physical, right? That's a spiritual dimension. There's what we do, and that's one dimension of existence. And then there's the abstract, spiritual, transcendent meaning and significance of what we do. Now let's take a mashal. Let's say a person, Rahman al-Atslan, gets laid off. He loses his job. On a physical, concrete level, in terms of that domain, A, that happened, and nothing can reach back and change that. And because of that, it's obviously something which is devastating. But what about on the spiritual dimension of existence? So what happened? I don't know what happened. Maybe what happened is something that Rahman al-Atslan can start a downward spiral into poverty and can trigger depression, Rahman al-Atslan, or could trigger shalom bias issues because of financial pressures. Or maybe he's gonna change professions as a result, and end up in a more meaningful profession. Maybe he's going to move to get a new job and end up moving, whether it's from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, from a less Torah-dikkei community to a more Torah-dikkei community. So what happened? What happened on Chveis, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when he was laid off? I don't know. Ask me on Sukkot, and I'll tell you what happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Depending upon what happens in the present, that will determine what happened in the past on the spiritual level, in that dimension of existence. A person falls and maybe Rahman al-Atslan, I don't know whether bruises himself, maybe even tears a ligament or breaks a bone. On the physical, concrete level, that happened. It caused the pain that it caused, and all of that happened. It happened in the past. The past is gone, and because it's gone, it's inexorable. You can't change it. On the spiritual level, on the level of the person's nefesh, neshama, which is above time, So what happened? So I don't know what happened. If as a result of this injury, he's going to go to physical therapy, and he's going to begin an exercise regimen that he's going to stick to, mikanu lahaba. So what happened didn't start a process of injury. What happened started a healing process. So what happened when he fell? I don't know. The jury is out. The future will dictate to the past what happened. Rachmanu Litzlan, a person ate macholos asuros. On the physical, concrete level, in terms of that dimension of existence, that happened. That's immutable. It happened. He ate macholos asuros. He spoke lashon hara. He battled. It happened. The past is gone. Since it's gone, therefore, by definition, it's immutable. And he can fast for the rest of his life, and it doesn't change the past if and only if a person is looking only at that physical, concrete dimension of existence. But existence is not unidimensional. A person isn't just a physical being. A person's a spiritual being. And a person doesn't exist only on the physical level. A person exists on a spiritual level as well. What happened when the person ate macholos asuros? What happened will be determined in the next days, weeks, months, and years to come. If a person leaves it alone, if a person doesn't do tshuva, so you know what happened? A terrible avera happened. If a person responds to the avera, Nichamti uboshti b'masa. If a person is prompted by the avera to cheshbon ha-nefesh, he's prompted by the avera to recognize amidas hataiva within himself, which led him into chet. If a person is led by the avera to confront that midah, to work on that midah, on sublimating, refining, changing, uprooting each one to whatever degree is appropriate. So then what happened can't just be described as a brazen avera. Present and the future are the cause, and the past is the effect. Extraordinary. Zdonos Yitachen Nasos Kishkogos. But Yitachen even more than that. That Zdonos is Nasu Kizchuyos, because the past is dictated to by the present. Not that it dictates to the present, but it is dictated to by the present. What happened when the person loses the job? What happened when the person falls? Depends upon what the person makes of it. And in that sense, the past is there, and it's there, and it's malleable, it's mutable, and the present and the future can, and if a person takes advantage of that, if he harnesses the potential, they do dictate to the past. Everything that happened in a person's life can be transformed through tshuva. And on the spiritual level, it doesn't just mean that looking back, I have remorse over what I did, but on the spiritual dimension of existence, where the action is not defined in terms of its concreteness and physicality, but where the action is defined in terms of its meaning, its significance, how it reverberates. So the person can determine what happened in the past. The person can change the past. Because the past is not gone. Because on the level of meaning and significance, the past is matmid v'yatziv. It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. The tshuva allows a person not only to rise above the mistakes of the past, not only to be cleansed from the mistakes of the past, but to change the past. The potential and promise inherent in doing tshuva are almost impossible. It's almost impossible to exaggerate. It's almost impossible to overstate. This is the flow in this section. So the Rav begins with the Minchas Chinuch's famous kasha, that the Rambam in Parak Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva says that Vidui is Ma'akev. But then the Rambam himself has the Sugya in Kiddushin, which he quotes, that Ta'omer Le'isha Red Mekudeshes Le'amanash Nitzad Degoma, Afilu Rasha Kol Yom of Harei Zu, Mekudeshes, meaning Suffolk Mekudeshes, Shemehira Belibo Tshuva. But we were listening carefully. We had our hearing aids turned up. We were listening carefully. He wasn't Mizvada. So what do you mean? Maybe he's no longer a Rosha. The Rambam says, Vidu is Ma'akev. So the Rav explains, and again, the Meschinuch, as he quotes, already says this in his own way, that hafkas shem rosh l'chud kapara l'chud. The Sugya in Kiddushin doesn't say that he has kapara, that he has atonement. It says that his personal status, the fact that by virtue of his averus he was a rosha kol yomav, that's been changed. Vidu is not ma'akeh for that. Vidu is ma'akeh for kapar. That's a beautiful, beautiful teretz. How does it, what's the flow here? How does it lead into? How does it segue into, again, the main chiddush that the Rav introduces us to in terms of tshuva? So the flow is that you see that tshuva is targeting not the physical, concrete action, but it's targeting the abstract significance of the action. The fact that the person is a Shem Rasha, so that's the spiritual dimension. So you see already there, you begin to get a feel for the fact that what makes tshuva possible and the way tshuva is effective and impactful is that it doesn't target a physical concrete action which is gone, done with, and therefore out of reach by definition, but it's targeting the meaning, the significance, that abstract, transcendent dimension of what happened, the Shem Rasha. And that's what the Rav then says. Again, we needed the Rav to take that next leap forward for us. And explains on the spiritual dimension how time exists, how we experience it, and how the law of cause and effect is reversible. Who I am tomorrow doesn't have to be dictated by who I am today and who I was yesterday. It can be that who I am tomorrow will dictate what happened yesterday, the significance, the meaning. What I do today and tomorrow will determine whether what happened yesterday, what kind of process did it initiate? What structure yesterday? So yesterday's a building block, but a building block of what structure? So the present and the future will dictate to the past what that is. That's a little bit of what the Rav is teaching us in these pages. Okay, everybody, so we'll stop here. Have a good, productive day. Everyone should be well, be safe. A good Shabbos, everybody. Mitzvah Shem Gneda will reconvene Sunday at 9. Call to everybody.